Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Bucher and Friends podcast. Here is your host.
Let's send it over to Rick Bucher.
Rick Bucher.
Welcome to a very special episode of Bucher, Blackman, and Hollins, subsidiary of Bucher and Friends, part of the United WeCast Network. I'm Rick Bucher. You can see me on FS1. You can read me on Bleacher Report. You can hear me on intercom stations across the country, and you can follow me on Twitter at Rick Bucher and on Instagram at Rick_Bucher. He is NFL vet Will Blackman. You can see him on FS1. He's known also as the Wine MVP. Follow him in his sommelier, journey, I suppose, is the appropriate way to describe it. Ryan Hollins, NBA vet. You can see him on a number of platforms as well. But guys, we're really here. We're doing a special episode because this is being recorded on a Sunday earlier today. Certainly one of the shocks of my life. Kobe Bean Bryant, getting the news that Kobe Bean Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, had died in a helicopter crash. And I'll throw it to you guys right away. I've known Kobe since he came into the league. I got to know him better than most in the league. Or at least in the media, and so I'm still coming to grips with the idea that Kobe Bryant is no longer among us. But I'm wondering what your reaction was, how you found out about it, and what your reaction was when you found out the news about Kobe.
Yeah, Ryan.
Well, for me, my wife sent me a text message that said Kobe Bryant dies in helicopter accident. I'm like, I think to Kobe Bryant, his internet commercial where the viral thing, he goes viral, Ronnie Turiaf, where he jumps over the Lamborghini. And I'm like, okay, helicopter stunt. Okay, Kobe's back at it. You know, he's shocking the world. He's that type of guy. And then I hit the link, then it was TMZ, and TMZ was down. And I'm like, well, maybe it's a wrong link. And then I went to Twitter and I started seeing stuff. And I just kind of shut off my Twitter. I closed it out because it gave me flashbacks, and it took me to a place where my father died. And my wife reached out to me, and I just kept kind of avoiding the messages. I didn't want to – this couldn't be real. This was a joke. I'm waiting for the aha moment, you know, or prank to have come out. And it didn't come out, and I'm still coming to grips with it, guys.
Yeah, I was – I was upstairs hanging out with our son Ryder, and you know, I left my phone in the bathroom, and then my wife and our daughter Jay, they went to the market. I was like, okay, let me go get my phone in case they an emergency, they need me, whatever. And when I grabbed my phone, I had about 20 text messages, and I'm like, who in the heck is like hitting me up, like what is going on? And it was I have a group message with some of my Boston College friends, and you know, they posted the same thing, the couple links, like, this is what happened to Kobe. And I'm like, this is another like hoax, another, you know, whatever, you know, same thing basically you said, Ryan. And then obviously, yeah, I went and checked on Twitter, and more people, like legit sources, were like texting me what happened. And you know, I never met Kobe, or I never knew him personally, but you know, my wife was saying, like, you know, when you follow somebody closely as he is, like you do with him, it's almost as if you do know him. And, you know, when people, you know, pass away all the time that are big names, but I don't know, something what Kobe hit a nerve hardcore. And I'm pretty chill with all this stuff. I think after I lost my mother as a kid, I became pretty resilient to people passing who were close to me. But this one was different because I put Kobe in that immortal, you know, category where you're like, okay, this guy is legendary and nothing could and ever would happen to him in terms of him as a pro athlete. So that's why when something did, that was major.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it, is whether you knew him or you didn't, the image that Kobe cast was a guy who could overcome anything, whether it was jumping over the Ferrari or it was shooting free throws with the torn Achilles or playing with, you know, a torn ligament in his finger, like whatever it might be. The first legendary story I heard was when he was trying out for NBA teams and he'd sprained both ankles. And I forget who he was trying out for. I want to say it was Indiana for some reason. He's trying out for a team, and he wasn't going to let that stop him. He sliced and diced the other guys in the workout on two bad ankles because he was just not going to allow anything to get in his way. So when I first heard this, I was like, that can't be. I always envisioned him, guys, as the basketball version of Jim Brown. I figured that he would be one of those legends that he'd show up now and then, he'd make an appearance, and you could just tell by his presence and the legend of Kobe Bryant, in the same way the legend of Jim Brown, that he would just be this ongoing icon, but not ending it, you know, having it ended at 41. It's still hard for me to imagine that I'm never going to have another conversation with Kobe Bryant. And we were, you know, we were just, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, a month ago or so, texting about our respective daughters. He was inviting my daughter down to the Mamba Academy because he saw a video clip of her that I had sent her. It's basically a proud dad. Hey, what do you think? He was like, she belongs in the Mamba Academy. We're going 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. But he was completely embracing being a dad. And I don't know about you guys, but that's the thing that really resonates with me. And I think a lot of people, again, because they saw him courtside with his daughter, Gigi. And you could see by their interaction and hanging out together, kind of where you got a glimpse of that relationship and what it meant to him and what he was about. And I think everybody could relate to that, to see that struck down. I'm still, like I said, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it and going in and out of, my dog's been like hanging out right next to me all day. I think he's got that sixth sense of something's wrong with me. I'm trying to come to terms with something, but that's exactly where I am.
Yeah, man. It just doesn't feel real despite seeing all the details of what's going on. It doesn't seem real, and it goes back. I mean, even, you know, I go back to when I heard the news about like Michael Jackson right before he was going on tour. You know, it was like that too. All of a sudden, once again, in that immortal category, someone who's going to be around forever and ever and ever. You know, same thing. I got the news about Prince, another person who is going to be around forever and ever and ever. So I agree with you in terms of that Jim Brown comparison. Just going to be one of the OGs, just always at games.
Yeah.
Every single level, and you know, and everybody was curious, you know, his tutelage with his daughter, you know, what she was going to be, you know, eventually. So yeah, it's just hard to talk about because you're at loss for words, like literally, you know. Yeah. What I mean? So
I don't know, man. At the same time, you know, it struck me how it's resonated with so many people because Kobe could be a polarizing figure. You know, there was people that were passionately for him and passionately critical about him, and yet he was such a force and a presence, and there was something about him that clearly everybody, however they felt about him, they respected There was an element about him that they respected without question. And I just wonder, as a, especially not knowing him personally, Will, as a professional athlete, what was it about Kobe Bryant as a professional athlete that impressed you or made the greatest impression on you?
The biggest thing that impressed me is that he, I felt like his style of play and his mindset struck fear in his opponents. You know, he was that type of guy, just like Jordan. You know, you heard videos from Coach Collins saying, like, you did not want to take him off because he will come at you and it is all over with. You know, and that's what separated him from a lot of players. You know, that's why I put them two next to each other. There are interviews with Allen Iverson saying, like, y'all got it twisted. Like, Kobe was dangerous. I was like, you guys don't understand. Like, this was a dangerous ball player, and it is, you know, the Mamba mentality. It is that mindset where it's like, it doesn't matter what's there. Like, we're gonna figure it out, regardless what it is, you know. And I remember I was at an investment summit, and someone asked me, like, what's one word that you can describe yourself? And I couldn't really think of it. And I was like, you know what? Resilient. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there is not one single thing that I can't handle or go through, you know? And then all it did for Kobe is that it just fueled him no matter what. Whatever he wanted to do in terms of the game of basketball, he figured it out and made it happen.
Yeah, honestly, that was the thing, is that he figured it all out. And we got to watch him figure it out. I think that's what made those who really paid attention to Kobe from beginning to end become so devoted to him, because he wasn't a perfect individual by any stretch. He wasn't a perfect player by any stretch. Not when he first came into the league. He wasn't a perfect teammate. But we saw him evolve. We saw him evolve from a high school kid coming off the bench who was beat up by the veterans, because who was this, like, a cocky young kid, high schooler, coming in thinking he's going to be all that. And then it was, he got to take over. He proved himself. He took over. Then he became the guy running the show, and he was relentless in that. And then he got to a point where his physical skills started to erode, and he needed to incorporate. He needed help. So,
but that's my point. He kept figuring it out.
Yes, he kept evolving. He kept evolving, right, as a player and a human being, in order to do that. So, Ryan, what was your experience? Just like your most memorable experience with him playing against him?
Man, honestly, before I can even talk about playing against him, I have to talk about, from being a stone cold killer, a guy who had grown up really to himself, who didn't have friends, who didn't associate even with teammates. Nobody really knew who this guy was. He was just this assassin on the court, to becoming a family man and a mentor to the NBA players. We were at an NBA 2K event, and, you know, me and Kobe probably talked 30, 45 minutes. And for me, Will, you know it. I mean, I was just a role player in the league. There's no way Kobe Bryant even knows who Ryan Hollins is. And it was just, are you healthy? How you doing? Family good? Are you really done with playing ball? You look great. What are you doing to work out every day? And he was just so tangible. And I played for Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wasn't that tangible. You know, if you're part of the North Carolina crew, or you're a, you know, Jumpman athlete, you know, or Chicago guy, you know, Michael would deal with you. But for the most part, Kobe was just very realistic. And it's really humbling to see how a guy at that level of greatness knows the smaller players, I guess you would say, you know, has this intimate knowledge and understanding of, you know, just the common player, is really rare. And Rick, I would say, in terms of playing, he came in, and I got to say a chance of Kobe and the glimpse of his, just like his heyday. And Will and Rick, he would have this like mental warfare where he would look at your bench and he would stare you down, and it was like, yo, like, who are you? Like, the ultimate disrespect. And it's funny, you know, James Harden, you know, doesn't close out on Ja Morant, and he goes, Ja Morant hits the shot, he goes, you better know who I am. James Harden got that from Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant would close out on guys, and he would pretty much, like, he would give them that look and say, like, I dare you to shoot the ball. And guys would shoot the ball off the backboard. They'd be so intimidated that it was Kobe Bryant. And he just brought that element to the game, man. I've never seen a level of respect through the game of basketball alongside anybody other than Michael Jordan like that. You know, LeBron James, it seems like everybody wants a piece of LeBron until he wakes up. You ain't want Kobe, not one of 82 games, bro.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. And it's interesting. You talk about how he connected with you and asked about you. There was actually that, as I went back, I started thinking about all my experiences with Kobe going back to the very beginning. It was always in there. It was a matter of who he was going to trust and could he get where he wanted to go. First and foremost, it was, I need to get where I'm going to go. But I remember one of the first times he was on the road with the Lakers. They were in Houston. And he invited me over to his hotel room. I was working on a story. And we were watching, this was when the only time you got national games, this was before NBA League Pass. The national games you got were on Sunday. There would be a doubleheader on a Sunday. And we were in his room watching. And we watched the first game and we watched most of the second game. The second game was kind of a blowout. And like, I was fascinated by Kobe, but Kobe was a really young player. And I was probably, 10 years older than he was? And so, like, there was a point where I was like, you know what? I was like looking at my watch and I'm thinking, I am here. I have a private audience with Kobe Bryant and I'm ready to go before he is. And it was largely just because of what you said. Like, he was lonely as a dude who first came into the league. You think about the stardom that Kobe Bryant ascended to, but when he came in, he wasn't afforded that by his teammates. He wasn't sure how to welcome that with his teammates. And so, again, just to see, I think he was looking for that connection that he had with his daughter, with guys in the league, with teammates. It just took him a while to get there because first and foremost, it was, I gotta figure this out and I gotta make my mark in the league. And he was more focused on that than being friends with anybody, which sounds kind of normal in one sense, but you look at the league today and you're like, that's not how it works today, right? Well, everybody's boys first.
Yeah, well, from my knowledge, I guess, like, through the high school circuit, that's how it was. You know, when he came over from Italy, you know, who's this kid, you know, speaking both languages and trying to be like Jordan and irritated a lot of people.
No doubt. You know,
he's like, and because he was trying to take everybody's head off.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, right, he probably looked back and you did see it towards the end of his career, how he was being more of that social type of player into the show. You know, he is.
But so to the heart of that, though, you look at his friendship and his allegiance with Derek Fisher through all the years. You know why and where that was started? It was because he and Derek were part of the bench brigade when Kobe first came in. And he learned to trust Derek. But he also knew that Derek had his back.
Right.
And so he never, ever, ever lost that that connection with Derek. And so, and I, and in some ways, I think from a media perspective, that's what he and I had. Like I was on him and believing in him early on when he was shooting the, I'm gonna never forget, like he shot all those air balls against Utah and everybody was killing him, ripping him. Who is this guy? Like, pass the damn ball, da 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 da. And I was like, it takes guts to take those shots. It takes guts to miss, to air ball and then say, you know what? I'm taking the next one. I missed that one. I'm taking the next one. It takes guts. Along with, eventually you got to start making them. But I just went to him shortly after that and I said to him, I said, look, I know everybody's killing you. I said, I believe in you, man. I think you're going to make it. You're going to get there. And he was like, I take every one of those shots again and then some. I keep on. I mean, he wasn't fazed by it. He didn't need me to say, you know, to buck him up or anything.
Right.
But he appreciated that I said what I said. And so I, you know, I think that that began the avenue. But I just, that I think that's what's so hard here, Will. And I don't know if it strikes you because of where you are in your career. But he was just, he was on the cusp of this next phase. And he was setting it up well, as I see you right. Setting yours up well with...
He was building his post-career empire.
And doing it with a full heart, you know, not looking back at all. Really kind of conscious of like, hey, I was, that's what I was, but now this is who I am. And I think his ability to fully embrace, like, I'm moving on. I mean, who, if you're Kobe Bryant, if you're a player of that, if you're any professional athlete, I would think that it's hard to let go of that persona because of all that it meant and all that you put into it. And yet he did it and he just but set it aside. And he went on to the next thing.
He was done playing. He was good.
I know, but.
That's what I mean. That's his. That was his mindset in terms of when he was basketball, he was all in.
Yes.
All in for basketball. And therefore, when he made his decision that he's not going to play anymore, he shut that door. And now he was all in with his next ventures and projects.
I mean, it sounds, yes, it is. But I just look at how hard that is to do. Right?
I look at Charles Woodson, too. He was a guy who was all in. And then soon as he played his last game in Oakland, he was all good because he knew his body couldn't play another full 16.
Right.
He knew that. And they wanted him to come back for another year. But right now he's enjoying his ventures, his post-career venture, his passions. Like I feel like Kobe found his passions post-basketball.
Are there any other athletes for you in other sports that carry the same sort of persona or, I don't know, reputation, whatever it is, that they have, I feel as if Kobe's persona projects beyond basketball, that players of every sport look at him as a icon.
I feel like, yeah, for football, it's probably Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning's like that, just a guy who had the same kind of, you know, detailed work. Ironically, they both had the details and
right. With ESPN.
On, you know, on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
But yeah, that same kind of mindset in terms of that, the details and preparation, and then well-respected by everybody in every single sport, and just how he just stopped playing and then went on and did other stuff. And there's not even a hint of him trying to come back and play. Like, once he was done, he was done.
How much did you know about his workouts? His workouts and the intensity of his workouts and how often he worked out are pretty legendary. I don't know how they stack up against what you would do or what you heard other guys were doing. Like, where does he fit in that realm? How much did that signify anything?
Talking about Kobe's training regimens?
Yes.
I would put it same thing with Peyton Manning or with Drew Brees. Like, those guys worked super hard. They had legit private off-season workouts where they went at it. They, you know, guys can come work out, and they went full-fledged, went hardcore at it.
Any last thoughts, Will, about Kobe?
Not really, man. Like I said, he is in that category of immortal to me, and I just totally respected the way he played the game. And a reporter, Mike Jones, he hit me up. He goes, "What did it mean to you, like Kobe? What was his like thing to you?" I said, "For me, Kobe was basically the second coming. Hmm. If Jordan was Jesus, Kobe was the second coming.
Yeah,
straight up. I mean, that's how I saw it.
It still, as of right now, does not feel real.
It doesn't feel real at all.
Like there's still a part of me that does like not
until,
believes.
Not until the service happens. That's when like it might hit me. You know that it's really, really, really real. I'm still waiting for it. Oh, you know, mistaken identity or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for this special edition. As I said, special edition of Bucher, Blackman, and Hollins. Just thought we should get together because I know how it's resonated throughout the sports world. And I just knew without even talking to you guys that there would be... I mean, it's funny how we all collectively said, you know what, we need to get together and we need to do a podcast because we need to be able to share our thoughts on exactly what Kobe Bryant meant and what the passing of Kobe Bryant means to us. So... in the next podcast, I will be joined by DJ Augustine from the Orlando Magic. He also went through a bit of tragedy. He was a survivor from Hurricane Katrina. We talk about how that shaped his approach to his NBA career and his belief that you appreciate what you have. And a lot of that came out of his experience in having to evacuate his hometown, New Orleans. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get it. And if you want us to do something for you, screenshot that review and send it to us at Bucher Friends. In the meantime, for Ryan, for Will, and myself, as always, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.